This is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what might have been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the gospel of the Lord. Just like Christina this morning, Jesus woke up and had crazy, silly, ridiculous, upsetting, hard day. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested. John was Jesus' family member. John was Jesus' cousin. John was the one who leaped in the womb of his mother when Jesus came near in the womb of his. John was the one who baptized Jesus in the Jordan, under whose hand Jesus felt the blessing of God, and in whose sight the Holy Spirit came like a dove from heaven, broken open and alighted upon him. John was the one that Jesus came to. And John had been arrested. It wasn't a good day. It was an upsetting day. John, whose ministry had begun what Jesus' ministry will continue, John, whose fate foreshadows that of Jesus himself, arrested, facing death. It was a disrupting message to get. When Jesus heard it, his life was all shaken up. It was interrupted. He had to withdraw. And so he stepped back from life as it was, from the way that he had been going, and he left his home. He made himself a new home in a new place, Capernaum by the sea. He began doing a new thing. This is the start of Jesus' ministry. And this first bit of upsetting news that shook up his life, broke open his life, didn't bring just a break, but also an opportunity. An opportunity like light shining into a dark place. From that time on, Jesus began to proclaim the message that John at first proclaimed. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. These words were in John's mouth before Jesus's. Jesus picking up this call And as he does so, picks up that same disruption that has so affected his own life. Because what does it mean to repent? What is it that Jesus is calling people to when he says, repent? If not disruption. Repentance is an opportunity to change. It's a moment where things break, but also might realign in a more liberating way. Repentance is a moment that resets everything, and it's the process of following that moment to its conclusion. Sometimes in church, we call moments like these by a different name, a sort of churchy name, using a Greek word called kairos. A kairos moment. It's a time of opportunity. It's a time of breaking but potential. It's a time that author Mike Breen describes as when the eternal God breaks into your circumstances with an event that gathers some loose ends of your life and knots them together in God's hands. A kairos moment is an opportunity for God to go to work on your life. Interrupted in his own life, Jesus now preaches a message of interruption for those that can hear. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. These moments when our life is interrupted, sometimes we can hear that call in an inspiring word that inspires us to change our lives and to start living on a different track. Sometimes, though, these moments come in less shiny circumstances, like towels that aren't clean, or a hairbrush that's broken or lost. It might be negative moments, like getting laid off from your job. They might be positive moments too, though, just as well, a promotion at work. It might be something big, like a wedding day, or small, like a first date. Kairos moments can show up throughout our lives. You might have had a handful of them already this morning. They're opportunities when your life doesn't quite go as planned. Usually it's not something that you have done to create this moment. Usually these are moments that happen to you. Sometimes it's in the news that you receive. Sometimes it's in the words of a loved one. Sometimes it's in the words of a stranger. As Jesus was walking along by the Sea of Galilee, he called out to some fishermen, and in that moment created a kairos moment, a moment when their lives would break, when their lives would be changed, when things would start to shift and look differently, and they would be gathered up into God's plan. He calls out and he says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Just like he had called out, repent, now he says, follow me. The words have this same impact, breaking apart what they had been doing, mending their nets, casting nets into the sea, gathering them up in their boats. What they had been doing is now broken, is now left behind, and immediately they go and follow him. Their lives are disrupted. Interrupted by God. In the movie that just released, Glass Onion, A Knives Out Story, There is a collection of people that gather on a private island for a murder mystery party. The group of them call themselves the Disruptors. And Edward Norton, the ringleader of the group, describes what this means, why they call themselves the Disruptors. He says in this moment of explanation, he says, okay, if you want to shake things up, you start with something small. You break a norm or an idea or a convention, some little business model. But you go with things that people are kind of tired of anyway. And everybody gets excited because you're busting up something that everybody wanted broken in the first place. That's the place where you have to look within yourself and ask, am I the kind of person who will keep going? Will you break more things? Break bigger things? Be willing to break the thing that nobody wants you to break. Because at that moment, at that point, people are not going to be on your side. They're going to call you crazy. They're going to say you're a bully. They're going to tell you to stop. Even your partner will say you need to stop. Because as it turns out, nobody wants you to break the system itself. But that is what true disruption is. Jesus is the biggest disruptor of them all. He starts out with small things. Things that maybe people wanted to let go of in the first place. The job that was tiring and out in the sun all day and made your fingers hurt because you were dealing with all these lines and net. Maybe these fishermen were ready for something new. They could leave their job, follow this guy. That sounds better. Maybe the people that were coming to Jesus, they were surely looking for something new, some word of hope. They were okay with breaking the cycle of hopelessness that they had been stuck in. They wanted that broken. They wanted the disease that was riddling their body broken. They wanted the sickness cast out. They wanted the demons banished. But Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't stop with just the things that were nice, just the nice things to break. He kept going. He kept breaking convention after convention, rule after rule, in an effort to break open the whole world. The divide between rich and poor, breaking it. The guilt and the shame that was thrown onto women, breaking it. The message about who's the king, who deserves ultimate loyalty, and whether that's someone on earth or our God alone, breaking it. And ultimately, in that moment where he is arrested, where his story comes to a close, where he now fulfills that which had been foreshadowed by John's own arrest at the beginning of his ministry, wherein Jesus is arrested and faces death, breaking the system itself. For so long, people had fought over gods, defending gods, dying for gods. They had gone to war in order to take the gods of another tribe. They had been called out to battle by their god. But now Jesus, God, is dying himself. And that was something nobody wanted to break. God, why did you have to die? Jesus disrupted everything we know about God. disrupted the way that God works in the world, interrupted everything. And now, with this God who would even die, Jesus shows us what this disruption business was about all along. When Jesus, as God, breaks God, giving his life, he shows what this repentance business is about. It's really about dying. But not just dying, because Jesus' death doesn't just stop there. But the death of Christ on the cross disrupts what we know about death, what we fear about death. And instead of being the end, it is a new beginning, is a liberation that has come, is a hope that has no dimming to its light. It's a dying to live into the fullness, into the wonder, into the majesty of the kingdom of heaven, which is at hand. Jesus was about this all along. Repent. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Use that moment where your life feels a bit broken as an opportunity to come and follow Jesus, to reshape and interrupt the way your life has been going day after day, to open your eyes and see instead a kingdom led by one who would die for you. Let us all be disruptors. Amen.
Will you use the faith you find? to reshape the world around. Through my sight and touch and sound in you, and you in me. Lord, your summons echoes through when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company, O God, where your love and footsteps show, thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me.